Yeah, and Penn State football getting ready for Nebraska. Prime time matchup Saturday night, 7 o'clock at Beaver Stadium. I think most of our audience knows Matt Rhule is the head coach of Nebraska. He is a State College high school and Penn State grad, and we are delighted to be joined by Denny Rhule, Matt's father, via the phone line this morning. Good morning, Denny. Thank you for taking the time today.
Oh, good morning. My privilege. Good to be here.
Denny, a bunch of questions for you, but I want to start Your thoughts on watching Matt and what he has done, impacting other young men in such a positive fashion now for so many years. Your thoughts as a father watching what your son has done here over the course of his career to this point.
Well, for me, it's really been special to be with them. You know, he invited me to come. I go down to Temple preseason and be with him and do some chapels and be with the team and be with him. And then after I retired from State College Area School District, we moved to Philadelphia, and I was with him full-time and just be there. And then, of course, Baylor, and then Carolina, and now here in Nebraska. But he's a tough coach. He's very detailed. He holds the kids to a high standard, but at the same time, the players love him. He's very personable. He's involved in their lives. And that's the thing for me that's really special about him. And, he's concerned about who they are, and not just the good players, but all the players. And he wants to see them graduate and become great men, great fathers, great in their community, great men of faith. So to me, that's been a wonderful thing just to be there and to witness.
Well, let's back up a second here, Denny, and just give us a little bit of your background, your connections to Center County, and what you remember from your days playing football and other sports in the county. Maybe some things that stand out to you. I know I was talking with Bill Horlocker, who helped set up our conversation this morning, and Bill was saying you have some not so fond memories of the Curtain Bowl matchups with State College and Belfont from your playing days.
Yeah, well, I grew up in State College and went to State College Area High School. I played football and baseball and loved it there. And then when I went, the privilege of going back to coach and teach there, it was just a really special thing for me to be a player there and to be a coach in football. My junior year against Belfont, I broke my collarbone, and we actually won that game. My senior year, they had a guy named Jerry Shivery, and he took the kickoff back, and they had a really good team that year. They beat us. But and in baseball, that was my favorite sport. My dad was a good baseball player in the Center County League, and he taught my brother Kenny and I from a young age to be good baseball players, and he would take us to the Pirates every year for a doubleheader, and he just lived and breathed baseball. So that was my favorite. That was my favorite sport growing up. Played baseball and football at Lock Haven, and just loved State College. Still do. To me, I've moved like 20 times in different states, but that's what I call home.
Talk a little bit, if you would, Denny, about your faith and the importance that's played in both your life and obviously you touched on it a little bit earlier, but if you can talk a little bit about that development over the course of your life.
Okay, well, my parents were church people, and we went to church whenever the doors were open, and of course, as a young teenager, I would rather be outside playing baseball or football. But then when I was 22, my brother Kenny and five of his fraternity brothers from Penn State were killed in a tragic automobile accident in Maryland. And that's when I started looking at my life, and seemed like all the sermons and Bible stories came back to me, and I saw the faith of my parents even while they were grieving, burying their firstborn. And that's when I gave my life to Christ and became a follower of Him. And my wife and I felt a call to go to seminary in Kansas City. So we were there from 76 to 80. And then I was on staff in Kansas City, and then we felt a call to urban ministry. We went to New York City and Times Square for 11 years, and then back to State College. My parents were getting older, but my faith is something that I give it my first priority. It's been something really special to me. I've served at different churches, and when I retired from State College, you know, I started becoming involved with Matt. You know, he invited me to come, and I thought, well, it's my son, and he wants me to be there, and it's ministry, and it's football, so how could I go wrong? And so I've been involved in sports ministry ever since, you know, going down and doing devotions with the team and doing all those kind of things, being with him and encouraging him and just seeing him grow, you know, spiritually and emotionally and physically and mentally. It's been just a great benefit to me and to Gloria. We see him, you know, being concerned about, you know, the team, of course, and win-loss record, but making men, you know, on and off the field. So that's been good for me and been very, very thankful for that.
Denny, this is Scott. First, thanks for joining us this morning. Now, you're in Lincoln, right? You're joining us from Lincoln.
I'm in Omaha. We live in Omaha.
Oh, okay. All right.
Matthew's two girls go to school here, and we take care. They stay with us two nights a week.
Okay.
And then I drive down to Lincoln to practice, you know, during the season and do a devotional down there on Tuesdays.
I'm just curious, what are people in Nebraska saying about this game Saturday night? I mean, it's a big game, really, for both teams in different ways. And, I mean, Nebraska's got the much better overall record, and yet somehow Penn State is still a rather significant favorite in this game, which sounds like a bit of a slam. What are people in Nebraska thinking and feeling about this game Saturday night?
Well, I think they're taking it like any other game, to tell you the truth. I think that they're excited. Nebraska fans travel really well. They're excited about the season. We know that it's going to be a very tough game for us because, you know, you watch Penn State, they've lost a number of games, but they've lost a lot of close games. And I watched them last week, and they're very, very good. So, I think we're excited, and we want to have these last three games against Penn State and Iowa and a bowl game to be our best football. So that's what we're hoping for. And, you know, going back to Beaver Stadium will be just a great time for me and for Matt and some of the coaches who played there. And so it'd be fun.
Denny, I know you obviously love your son, but I mean, this is Penn State, so you're obviously rooting for the Nittany Lions here Saturday. How tough is it for Matt to see you rooting against? I'm kidding, obviously.
You know what's funny? But you know what's funny about that?
What?
When Matt was at Temple, people from State College would say to me, "Boy, it must really be hard for you to root against Temple and for Penn State." And I said, you know, I said, well, blue and white is powerful, but blood, you know, red blood is more powerful.
Well, yeah. that being said, Daddy, talk about the. Is it difficult? I guess for Matt more so than you. That like there have to be some emotions here, right? And I don't mean conflicted about winning or losing Saturday night, but I mean this, as you said, you consider this home, and I'm guessing to a large degree Matt does as well. Hard at all? I'm sure there's a ton of people reaching out that want to get together with both of you. Obviously, this is a business trip for Matt. I just wonder if you could talk a little bit about just kind of that idea of coming home and for Matt, you know, the opportunity to coach again in Beaver Stadium. I mean, that's got to be kind of a neat feeling for him to walk out on that Beaver Stadium turf as the head coach of a big time Division I program.
Yeah, I'm sure it is for him. You know, he of course, you know, he played there and he's been back a couple of times as an assistant when he was at Temple. So I'm sure, you know, when you walk out onto the field, there'll be a lot of memories come flooding back to him. You know, he was talking about just the memories of State College and returning, you know, and I think he was saying in the people that he'll really be thinking about would be his grandfather and his grandmother, who really invested in him and lived in State College, and they both passed away, and people like his former coaches and the players from State College and for Penn State. I'm sure it's going to be, you know, a fond memory of all them, and reliving, you know, the events that have taken place football-wise and being in school there. And, you know, for me it's fun. You know, when I grew up in State College, I didn't miss a game when I was a teenager. I would get a ticket somewhere, or I'd sell Cokes just to get in and watch the game. And I'd jump the fence a couple of times. So I think the statute of limitations is over for that.
I think you're right.
Hope so.
But, all right. Yeah. Well, we'll find out. But you know, it's a special place for us, and it always will be. You know, when we were I was in high school, one of the baseball players and I would sneak onto Beaver Field and play home run derby there. But I'm sure now you couldn't do that. But just being around Penn State football, and you know, when I played at State College, when we'd get hurt, they would send us to the Penn State training room, and we would be Chuck Medler and the people would take care of us. So yeah. There's a lot of ties there, a lot of memories, a lot of people. It'll be a special time. So looking forward to it.
Denny, do you have a chance to get back here outside of obviously an event like Saturday? Do you and or Matt get a chance to just visit and hang out for a little while in the area?
I come back usually once during the summer and occasionally twice during the year. So I have still a lot of friends there and like to see them and go to the waffle shop and Happy Valley Brewery and different places like that. So it's been good. We have a lot of friends that, you know, that want to see us, and we want to see them and just go to some favorite places. And, you know, Calvary Church is there, and that's where we used to go, and I served there. So it's been a special place, too.
All right. Ironhead and I have been around here for a while, and so we followed Matt's career. Success at Temple. I'm surprised some people. Goes to Baylor, success at Baylor.
Unbelievable turnaround
at
Baylor.
There we go. He's at Nebraska, now still relatively new, but he's having success there.
Yep.
Then, Denny, there was the Carolina Panthers. Now, that didn't turn out as well. What, I guess, first question, was it an aspiration of Matt's to be an NFL head coach? I mean, at some point in the past he said, I want to be an NFL head coach. Or this was just an opening that he applied for. Did he always want to be a pro coach?
I never heard him say that, to tell you the truth. You know, when he was five, he said to me, you know, I'm going to go to Penn State and play football, and I'm going to become a coach. And, you know, I just tapped him on his head and said, yeah, go get him, buddy, and never thinking that would be what happened. But then that's exactly what he did. And, you know, I think I think his niche is really college football, being with young men and, you know, pouring into them and making them become, you know, the men they're supposed to be. And the Carolina thing was tough, you know. It was a good experience to be there, but, you know, we didn't get it done, and found out it was a lot different than college football. And then he got fired. And I think, you know, through the firing, you know, God used that to give him an understanding and a compassion for coaches and families and staffs who have to go through that and have to move and leave schools and leave friends and all that. So I think it was used for a good purpose. But I think, you know, his place, and he understands it, is with college.
Denny, and in the moment, that experience at the end at Carolina, tougher for you or for Matt, you think, just emotionally?
I think it was tougher for his family. I mean, it was tough for us when you're sitting in a stadium and you hear people say, fire Matt Rhule, and yeah, it's getting louder and louder. You know, when you have, you know, a son and two daughters and a wife and your parents are there. You know, it's not easy. It's difficult. You know, I think fans can get out of hand. You know, and take it, you know, too much to heart when coaches don't do well. They're still working 16, 18 hours a day, and they're doing their best. I think it's the most critiqued profession in the United States every week. And but at the same time, you know, I think coaches understand that, you know, that's a possibility. And if they don't achieve what they're supposed to, then it's going to happen. And, you know, we see that especially this year. My goodness, you know, the coaches that are being fired and, you know, some with really good records. So.
Yeah, I mean, to a degree, it has always been a business, but boy, more so now than ever. And I think this season has been clear evidence of that. Denny, can you hang with us through one more section of the show? All right, we're going to take a commercial break here. Again, we're talking with Denny Rule, Matt Rule's father, ahead of Matt's Nebraska team coming in here to Beaver Stadium Saturday night. Want to talk a little bit more about the coaching profession and the demands that put on a family, and obviously Terry Smith, now the interim head coach at Penn State. We'll talk a little bit about Terry in the upcoming segment as well. You are listening to Let's Talk. It is our Wednesday morning edition on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Harlan here from Monday Night Football on Westwood One. Join us all season long for primetime action on the road to the playoffs and Super Bowl 60. Each week, Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner and I will have the call of great matchups, along with Mike Golick, senior and junior, in the studio. Don't miss out on the great NFL tradition that is Monday Night Football.
Catch all the action all season long. Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox. Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub, right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
It's Let's Talk here on a Wednesday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. Scott will have a little open phone time in the final segment.
Well, okay.
Of this morning's big show, as I get the Mad Turtle off to Elementary School here this morning with the two-hour delay. Again, we are privileged to have Denny Rule, Matt Rule's father, joining us via the phone line from Omaha this morning as the Cornhuskers get ready to take on the Nittany Lions in that 7 o'clock kick Saturday night at Beaver Stadium. Denny, we're talking a little bit about the, how tough it is, I think, for friends, but especially family, when you know what a coach is putting into it and you're hearing fans say disparaging things or calling for the firing. And that just has to be a very tough thing. I'm wondering if you can just give – I'm not sure – that we really understand sometimes. I mean, I've seen it, I cover the wrestling team locally, and the amount of hours and time that coaches spend with the athletes and addressing different issues, and these days there's also a lot of non-coaching duties, meaning not duties directly related to developing the players and their techniques and all of that. You're having to deal with administrative stuff. Now you have the NIL. You're constantly looking at the transfer portal. All of these different elements in college football. I mean, there have to be moments, I think, for any coach in any sport where it's like, all right, this is a little overwhelming. This is a little much. Can you just talk to the investment in time, let alone emotions and all of the other things that come into it, but just time alone that these coaches, and obviously particularly your son, invest in doing their duties, and I think often doing more than what their duties would call for.
Sure. You know, when I first went to Temple with Matt, I never understood, you know, exactly what a head coach did. And just being with him, I would see, like, so many things that came across his desk, so many people that were at his door trying to have him do something, or even with the university. You know, and today it's even, I'm sure, a lot more, because with the NIL and the portal and, you know, it's a job that I would never want to do, to tell you the truth myself. You know, I love coaching high school football, but there's requirements and expectations. So, I mean, you're always on call, busy. The thing that I see with Matt is that his kids are old enough, like, attends the University of Nebraska, and he works with the football team, so he's there a lot. And then his younger daughter, Leona, on the weekend, she goes with him and does work with them. So they're around the facility a lot. You know, I think it really demands a loving, patient, compassionate wife. And Matt's wife, Julie, is that and more. So I think it really takes a team to approach and to do what is expected of the head coach, because it's very demanding. And with recruiting and everything that's different now, it takes a lot more time, a lot more effort. You really have to recruit your players that are on the team to stay there. So you're always doing something. And the times that they get a chance to get away, whether it be a break in the school calendar or in July, you know, is really important for them just to get away and be as a family.
Yeah, coaching is not a 9-to-5 job.
Well, that is for sure.
No way.
And you rarely hear about the spouse. Now, Sue Paterno was the anomaly. You heard about Sue all the time. You don't normally hear about the spouse and all the things that they have to do. You never hear about that.
Yeah, and if they are not all in the program and being able to kind of take care of the home life, it can't work. I mean, it just can't. And that is it does. It takes a very special person. It really does, to be the spouse of of any head coach, but certainly a big-time Division I athletic coach, because, again, you're basically adopting another larger family along
exactly.
with yours. And then, again, it's just that time constraint is something that I think unless you experience it, it's really hard to understand just how significant that investment is.
Yeah, I think a head coach these days at a major program is, I think, more better defined as the CEO of that program, because there's so much, not just being on the field and coaching and X's and O's, but so much involved, and it takes a unique person, I think.
And, Denny, one of the things, we talk about football being an emotional sport, any sport, I think you've got to bring that passion if you're going to be successful at the highest levels. I'm just wondering, as you've watched from out in Nebraska, what's unfolded at Penn State with the firing of James Franklin, with Terry Smith, and I know Matt and Terry go back a ways, but I'm curious, just your thoughts on what you saw with the James Franklin situation, and then I'm guessing you've seen the clip, at least from the press conference with Terry, getting very emotional at the press conference this week about the number of people that reached out to him after the win over Michigan State and getting the Gatorade bath and being lifted up on the players' shoulders. I mean, that connection, I think, is why the folks that do get into the coaching profession, they're willing to put all of that time in, is those moments where they're seeing the players get rewarded with their efforts.
Well, after you've been through it, after you've been fired and you go through all that emotion, you have to pack up and leave, and you have to take your kids out of school, and it affects all the staff, and it's an emotional thing. It's a physical thing. So after you've been through it, you understand, and you feel bad when any coach gets fired. You really do.
Yeah.
Because you understand what you felt it, and now you understand what they're going through. And despite any payoff or anything that's involved in it, you understand the emotion and just the difficulty of it. So for me, I feel bad when any coach gets fired. I really do. You can tell that Terry is loved by his players. That's the thing that I take from that. When you see him being lifted up and you see him in the press conference, you can see a real love on his part for his players and his players for him. And for me, that's what football is all about. It's about relationships. And we know that life is about relationships, emotionally, spiritually, physically, whatever. So, I hope it never happens again to us, but you never know. But we've been through it, and it's been difficult. But, coming here has been a wonderful experience for us. The kids love it here. Julie and Matt love it here. And Nebraska fans are really supportive and great. Nebraska Nice is a slogan, and it's very true here in Omaha and Lincoln. We've been in a lot of different places now, and this is a wonderful place to be.
All right, Denny, let's spill the beans. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
All right. James Franklin gets fired a few weeks ago. Matt's name comes up. All right? It's floating up there. Did he ever give any real thought, from what you just said, I think the answer is probably no, but did he ever give any thought about coming here?
Well, I'm not sure what he was thinking, to tell you the truth, but I do know that he loves it here, and his family loves it here, and that was really important and big for them. And I know that, when he was at Temple, he was there as a head coach for 4, Baylor for 3, Carolina for 2.5. And I think coming here, he likes it so much. He wants to see it long term. He wants to see, beyond 3 and 4 years, what they can develop, and to come into a place like Temple or Baylor or Nebraska that haven't done well, You know, you need time. You need time to build a foundation and recruit the players that you want, not only the players you want on the field, but players you want emotionally and mentally and physically. So I think that was the overriding thing, I think. But to really get a good answer, you'd have to talk to him. Because I don't know his thoughts, and everything for sure.
Okay, all
Denny, right. the program there. How pleased is Matt with the way things are coming together? It, as you said, we just are in such an impatient time in the sports world, but it does seem like they're understanding. You can see the clear progress that the program is making under Matt, but. It's just hard to get that stability in this day and age of college football, and it at least feels from the outside looking in like that is there now for Matt and for that Nebraska program right now.
I think he's very happy. The facilities are elite, and I think he has a staff that he wants to stay and continue to build. And he trusts his staff, and they are people who have been in football for a long time, very, very knowledgeable, very expertise. The athletic director and Matt have a great relationship, and they're working together to make it to take it back to where it was, when I was growing up, which was elite. Five national championships, so it's pretty good.
Denny, different question for you here, but I want to get back to the. Spiritual component, because there's been a lot made over the years of it feels like this country maybe is losing its way a little bit. Since the Charlie Kirk assassination, just nationally, it feels like there are more and more young people that are willing to come out and say, yes, I am giving my life to Christ. I'm okay talking about it publicly. I'm okay showing my devotion. I'm just wondering, you've had a lot of interaction, obviously, with young people. Have you seen a difference, or not over the years, in terms of young people and the degree to which they have faith?
I think so. I think what really is exciting to me is, here at Nebraska, we have several staff people who are really strong believers and help the students, help the players. But I think, I've seen a lot of the players stepping forth and assuming spiritual roles and, praying and doing the things that the leaders usually do, and that's exciting to me. That's what we want to happen. We want to see this younger generation become followers and really impact their lives and the people around them. So for me, it's like I see a lot of teams that are standing up, and the players are on campus are becoming more vocal. They're becoming more identified with Christ and spiritual things, and even leading organizational groups on campus. So that's what we want, and I think that's happening. It's always a thrill to me to see an individual, whether at Baylor, which was a Christian university, but especially here in Nebraska, young people do that. I think it's happening, which is great.
Yeah, it really does feel like there's a bit of a revival going on with young people in this country. So, Denny, you travel with the team coming in.
This year I have not. I go to some of the games away, but I go. I'm on the sidelines here. I'll be in the sidelines at Penn State. But in the past, I have. But since we have the girls and live in Omaha, I don't travel with the team to some of the games now.
Gotcha. For this weekend, do you mostly hang with the team? Will you be able to get together with some friends you have back here? How do you handle your schedule personally for this coming weekend?
We're going to come in early. The team's coming in Friday. We'll be coming in Thursday. And when I'll be staying with friends and meeting with friends at the waffle shop in different places. And then when the team gets here, I'll be with them a lot, kind of walkthroughs and probably chapel and different things like that. And then I'll be on the field on Saturday afternoon at Beaver Stadium.
Now, you need to are you somebody that needs to get to the creamery, or that's the ice cream isn't a necessity the way it would be for somebody like me?
I need to get to the waffle shop.
I love it.
If I'm close to the creamery, I would definitely stop. I don't have to be there.
Understood. Right. And the night games are a little bit of a different challenge, are they not, Denny, for teams and for coaches? Just that sitting around all day it's just tough. I think having that anticipation kind of build up throughout the course of the day. I know coaches and players at this point, pretty much everybody has at least a night game along the way, so you develop routines. But I still think most coaches and players, Daddy, correct me if I'm wrong, I would prefer like the noon kickoff. Let's get this thing underway. Let's get it done with and get back home. I think that waiting is just sometimes the most difficult part, just trying to make sure you're not overexpending any nervous energy, that sort of thing. But also, you know, you can't just sit around all day, and that's not good for your body either in terms of preparing to get out there and battle.
No, I think night games are nice for the home team fans and maybe the players.
Yeah.
But definitely not if you're on the road. And it's, you know, it's a long day that's just to wait, especially for a 7 or an 8 o'clock kickoff. You know, you have the whole day, and it's okay. It makes it better if there's other games on TV you can watch. But the other thing is, like, you know, after the night game's over, you have to go to the airport, get on a plane, and get home at 3 or 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. So it affects your next week. So yeah, I'm a fan of 11 o'clock games or 2:30 games, and you know, you can watch the game and get home and watch other teams on television and see how they're doing. And but yeah, night games are fun, I think, for the fans. But
can you tell he's a Central Time guy?
11 and 2:30, yeah.
2:30? Like, wait a minute, wait, what?
Yep.
What kind of cloth do you have there, Denny? Holy crap. Hey, Denny, here's my last question. I'm just simply curious. I've never been to Nebraska. You've been to Nebraska,
I've
right?
been okay. to, yeah, I love Lincoln.
I've been to Kansas. Lincoln. I've never been to Nebraska. What's the weather today in Nebraska, Denny? Give us a weather forecast.
Today is 52 here, and cloudy, little light rain.
Okay.
It, you know, here it goes up and down, and in the winter it gets pretty cold, and in the summer it gets really hot. So I mean, we lived in Kansas City for 4 years, so close to Nebraska, and it was the same. So you get some tornado warnings here, and some tornadoes coming through, but it's pretty much, I think, close to what State College is.
Okay.
You know?
Well, we had a little snow overnight.
We've had no snow yet. No,
by Saturday night, by kickoff, of course, it'll be after dark.
Right.
Maybe 38, 39 degrees.
Oh, my.
I don't know.
It'll be cold.
Is that Nebraska weather at night this time, 38, 39 degrees?
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. Last year we played Iowa the last game, and it was 17.
Yeah.
I
remember watching that one. Yep.
Okay. I stood in front of the heater the whole game, watching the game, so it was cold.
Do Nebraska cold. Fans still wish they played Oklahoma?
Ah, that's a good question. I really don't know. I'm not sure about that. I don't know.
My guess is, I have some family that lives out there, and they're Nebraska fans, and they miss it, but I think it's, but according to them, like the younger generation, it's not that big of a thing.
Wow.
And I think it's similar to the Pitt Penn State thing. Like that to me still means everything.
Yes.
But when I talk to kids now, they're like, I don't care. What does that mean?
Yeah. I think you're exactly right. I think it's an older, you know, generation's thought, because the younger generation, I think, it's really happy we're in the Big Ten and playing the teams that we do.
Yeah, we're always wistful for the good old days.
Wistful.
When I was a kid, the Pirates had a big-time baseball team. We won a World Series.
That's right. That's right.
Man, are you old, Hope?
Yes, right. Very, very old.
Well, I'm a lot older than you guys, so.
Well, Danny, we really appreciate the time. I hope you and Matt just have a wonderful experience coming back in. Wish Matt the best of luck, save for this weekend's game, obviously. We wish him continued success. It's been, I hope Matt knows the amount of pride he has brought to both his alma mater in high school and his alma mater collegiately. There are a lot of folks that take a lot of pride and love watching what Matt has done throughout his coaching career. And again, hoping he takes a loss here Saturday night, but otherwise hoping that that things continue to go very well. It's been a lot of fun to see, and it has to be special for you to have that up close look at what he is doing with his life.
Yeah, it has been. Thank you for having me, and bless you guys, and go Big Red.
Had to get that in. Hey, thanks, Daddy. We appreciate it.
Okay, take care.
You too.